Jesus is coming soon. Well, one of the reasons that I believe that is this coming together of the nations that Revelation talks about and that Daniel talks about. Global government. Well, the first instance we find of global government is in Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. Now remember that because we're going to come back to it in a few moments. But the Tower of Babel, they wanted to make their way to God. So they build this tower to go to the heavens so that they could be up there and equal with God. Understand? God never shares His position or His power with anyone, including those in Genesis chapter 11 and including those living in 2019. He confused their languages. He scattered them all over the world. And ever since that time, they failed in that instance trying to make themselves as the controllers and take God's place. Ever since that time, they tried across the world numerous times to come together in world government. Now, in recent history, after World War I, 1914, they came up with this idea of the League of Nations. And there was, well, we need something that's going to keep all of the powers of the world from fighting and destroying each other. And they thought the League of Nations would work. Well, thankfully, America didn't get behind it and some other reasons, and so it failed. Well, after World War II, 1945, Churchill and FDR and Stalin got together, and they said, we got to do something worldwide that can stop these world wars. So their idea was the United Nations. Well, all of this stuff is just leading up to the Antichrist and the global power that we're going to see or that's going to take place on this earth, and what I believe is not the too distant future. So tonight, let me talk to you three thoughts about the coming global empire that will rule the world. Sermon's entitled, Global Government Coming Soon to a Country Near You. First truth I want you to see tonight, and I am going to go through a boatload of, Mr. Landers, wherever you are, if you can go help them, I'm going to go through a boatload of verses that right now are not going to be on your screen. And I am going to show you pictures that they need to see. So get Landers and figure it out. Number one, you're in Revelation chapter 13. Scripture prophesies a global government. Revelation chapter 13, verse 2 says this, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And notice this phrase, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his authority. So this global government will not just be some political leader that comes to power and says, I want to lead the world. This global government in Revelation chapter 13 will be satanically inspired, will be empowered by Satan himself and led by the Antichrist, Satan's Superman, if you will. You're in Revelation 13, look at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And notice that phrase, his deadly wound was healed. Three times in this chapter, it mentions this deadly wound, this fatal wound that was miraculously, that was supernaturally, that was demonically healed. And the world sees that, and the world says, hey, This is a divine person. We should follow him because he's not just a politician. God is with him. Look down at verse 7. Notice what happens. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So all of these countries, they're just going to give up their power. They're going to say, okay, Antichrist, we are giving up our sovereignty. We are giving up our independence, and we are just going to let you lead our country. Hold on a second. Let me hit pause and give you some commentary. And the commentary is Neil Jackson opinion, okay? So this is not Bible. Neil Jackson opinion, and I could be wrong. I do not approve of a lot of Mr. Trump's actions, his responses, his doings. I don't think they model Jesus. But he is a friend of Israel, and God likes that. Secondly, he is not a globalist, and the rest of the world hates that about him. I admire and cherish that about him. Neil Jackson opinion, back to the Bible. Revelation 17, verse 12 says, the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So this global government will be led by this beast who is empowered by the dragon, Satan. And this beast is the Antichrist. And this Antichrist, you notice in here, it talks about these 10 horns, these 10 kingdoms, these 10 countries, and we'll see more of that in just a moment. So these 10 kings or kingdoms are symbolize or illustrate the horns on this beast, and these yield their sovereignty to the Antichrist. And this superpower, he will boast of political power. Listen, he will boast of economic power. I will take care of all of your financial issues. Hold on a second. International Monetary Fund, the banks of the world, the central banks, why are they allowing all of these countries to have so much debt? It's just something to make you wonder, because the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and he's going to offer political power. He's going to offer economic power, and I can take care of all of your financial needs. And he's going to offer military power. Don't mess with me because I am powerful. You're in Revelation 17. Look at Revelation 18. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So I put these two verses in there for those who may be listening to this CD after the rapture takes place. And you have to decide, will I follow this Antichrist who has all of these miraculous powers, who is promising prosperity and promising peace and is promising safety, and he has so much military power, he will destroy anybody who stands up against him? I quote those two verses of Scripture because if you do, you will face the judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. That's the Revelation account of this global empire. What I want you to do, go over to Daniel now. Daniel chapter 2, and thank you for turning with me. You need to see these verses. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel also described this same coming world government. So the situation in Daniel chapter 2, God gave Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a dream of global kingdoms. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Amen. Notice what it says. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. Verse 32. This image is, and he points out four kingdoms. Number one, his head was of fine gold. Second kingdom. His breast and his arms were of silver. Third kingdom. His belly and his thighs of brass. Fourth kingdom. His legs of iron. Fifth kingdom. His feet, part of iron and part of clay. So Daniel prophesies of these four global empires, and the fourth one is going to manifest it in our time, and it's going to be the reunification, what many Bible scholars believe, of the Roman Empire. Now you say, how do you get all of those kingdoms who they are? Look down at verse 37. Verse 37 through 44 tells you through those who those are. The first one clearly is Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. You read history. Who were the other global empires that followed Nebuchadnezzar? Well, the chest and arms, that would have been the Medo-Persian Empire, 550 BC to 330 BC. The belly and the thighs of brass, well, that would be Alexander the Great and the Greco-Macedonian Empire, 323 BC to 168 BC. The two legs of iron, well, that is obviously the Roman Empire, 31 BC to 476 BC. And then you look, the 10 toes on the 2 feet of iron mixed with ceramic clay. So it's the future revival of this Roman Empire coming out of Europe. So you're in Daniel chapter 2, look at verse 34. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. The stone without hands is the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is going to destroy this kingdom of this iron and clay with all of those different toes, these different nations, these different states coming together in Europe or whatever that is. Verse 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like chaff of a summer, threshing floors, and the wind carrying them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great nation and filled the whole earth. Look down at verse 44. And in the days of these kingdoms shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So why did all of these kingdoms fall? God. They serve their time. They serve their purpose. God setteth up kings and he taketh down kings. So this end times revival of the Roman Empire that God is going to allow to come to power, it's just like the other ones. God's going to allow them to come to power to accomplish this, his purpose, and then his kingdom, which Jesus shall sit on his throne in Jerusalem and rule and reign, shall destroy it. Just like God destroyed all of the other ones. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to go over there, but if you were to go to Daniel chapter 7, Daniel received a dream himself of the same basic outline of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Different dream, but same results and the same interpretation. Now, you're in Daniel chapter 2. Look up at verse 28. You say, Pastor, when is this global government, this 10 toes, iron and clay mixed together, when is it going to happen? When is it going to come about? Look at verse 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar. Notice the next phrase. What shall be in the latter days? So when you see these countries of Europe starting to come together and form a coalition, as we have seen in the past few years, it's just another sign that we are living in the latter days. Look on the verse. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. So it is a prophecy looking forward to the last days. Look at verse 29. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What shall come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. So number one, Scripture prophesies a global government. Number two, current events reflect a global government. Amen. And what I want to show you here in just a few slides is how that this global government is not just a figment of our imagination. It's not just something that's going to take place in the far out future. It's something that they are already preparing for. So forgive our issues. Guys, help me out. January 29th, 1991, George W. Bush made this statement. What is at stake is more than one small country. It's a big idea. A new world order where diverse nations are drawn together in a common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind. Peace, security, freedom, and the rule of law. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order. 1991. You say, well, what about those 10 toes and that iron and clay and that supposal revival, that reunification of the Roman Empire? Well, it's possible, very possible, that the revived Roman Empire will be in the form of the European Union, the EU as we know it. 1957, the European Community was founded. Just a loose-knit organization. 1993, that European Community was converted to the European Union. Today, there are 28 countries in this European Union. All of this is what we just read, Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Now, here's what's interesting. The EU is very similar to the Roman Empire that existed in Jesus' day. Very similar. You say, wait a minute, 28 countries, what about that 10? Well, you remember not 6 months ago, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel and the French leader, Mr. Macron, came together and announced the unification of 10 of those countries in the EU. I'm not saying that's it. I'm saying it's quite possible, and it's quite interesting. Now, for us living in Bennett, I think one of the good things about us and one of the difficulties about us is we think everybody's just a good old boy like we are. Listen, there are wicked people in the world that hate God, that hate the Bible, and that blaspheme God and everything that He stands for. I don't think this is coincidence. 1979, Britain issued a stamp to commemorate this first European Parliament. And the picture on this stamp depicted a woman riding a beast. Revelation 17. That great harlot riding the beast. The woman on a beast is now the official picture of the European Union. And you say, well, that's just coincidence. You see the picture? The Council of Europe building in Brussels, Belgium, contains a statue of a woman riding a beast. We just read this, folks, Revelation 13. The beast, he's there. It's the Antichrist. Revelation 17, this woman, this harlot woman, it's the false prophet. The symbol of the EU is printed on stamps, phone cards, and currency. Next slide. Here's something else. The Council of Europe published a poster identifying the EU with the Tower of Babel. Remember? We just talked about that. Genesis 11. Trying to come together and make their own way, trying to build their own way and push God out of the way. Notice this EU poster there on your right. The slogan, many tongues, one voice. The crane. What's the crane in that picture for? They're rebuilding the Tower of Babel. What's the stars above the tower? Well, the 12 stars are the European Union symbol. But notice those stars. They're inverted. The same way you do in witchcraft. With the central points pointing downward. See the other picture? 16th century painting of the Tower of Babel. And then you go to the third picture, the EU Parliament building in Strasbourg, France. I'm not saying this, but others have speculated that building, did they build it as a replica of the Tower of Babel? Folks, just to make you think, the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization are all world institutions with components to a one world government. When you hear about the world court, well, there is a world court, and it refers to a court system that enforces laws of the world government laws. When you hear about, well, that's just international law. Well, it's referring to international government. September 20th, 2015, the UN unanimously approved a document transforming our world, listen to this, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And they said, well, the goal is just to root out poverty and to deal with climate change. That's the goal of this. The document very cleverly calls for a world currency, a world government, and a world religion to be established by 2030. It was approved on September 28th, or it's approved on January 1st, 2016. September 28th, 2015, President Obama addressed the UN and said this, global integration, which is the merging of nations, is an agenda that transcends the narrowly defined interest of a nation. Interpretation. World government is more important than national sovereignty. Now you say, well, is that what Revelation 13 is talking about? Listen very carefully. I'm not sure. But it sure does resemble what Revelation 13 is talking about. Now, I'm running out of time, and they're going to get mad at me down there if I don't let you out. But let me just give you five quick observations about world government. And I'm going to have to go really, really quick. Number one, world religion. Revelation 13 teaches that the false prophet will head up this world religion, and you look and observe Pope Francis, and he's making great strides at pulling all of these religions, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, all together. February 4th, 2019. Yeah, there you go. There's the picture. Pope Francis and Sheikh Ahed Al-Tayyib, most important imam in the Sunni Islam sector. They met in Abu Dhabi to sign a document on human fraternity for world peace. The document, listen to this. It uses the word God to refer both to Allah and Jehovah God. And it never one single time mentions Jesus Christ. Listen, folks. Allah and Jehovah are not the same. And it's not the same as who the Buddhists worship and who the Hindus worship. It's not the same. But this leader, are you saying the Pope is the false prophet? I'm not saying that. But he sure is playing the role of the false prophet. June 27, 2017, the Pope, speaking to this newspaper, El Universo, the Ecuador newspaper, said this: "The United Nations doesn't have enough power and must be granted full government control for the good of humanity." Secondly, plans for peace in the Middle East. I talked about this last week, so I'm not even going to go here. The tribulation period brings about, begins when the Antichrist comes on the scene and confirms this covenant. I find it interesting that you have an Israeli election this week, and Mr. Trump is saying we're going to present our peace plan after the Israeli election. It's just quite interesting that all of this stuff is coming together. The Bible is very clear about dividing the land of Israel and the consequences of doing that. Number three, and I wish I could park for a whole hour and talk about this, the radical cause of climate change. Now, I believe we are to take care of our world, and I believe that we should be good stewards of the environment, and I think we as Christians can do a lot better than we are currently doing. But you understand that mankind is coming on the scene, and they are coming up with these crazy ideas about climate change. They're wanting to charge us. The EPA proposal is to charge farmers, that's us, $175 fee per cow because of cow flatulence. If you don't know what that is, ask your wife. She can explain it to you. Because it makes up 9% of the methane gas on the earth. This plan that they have presented does away with planes so we can go across from America to Europe and to the Hawaii by trains. And they're saying this with a straight voice. Now, and I wish I could go into all this. Let me just make this one statement. Go to the next slide. February 7, 2019, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, the one that says the world's going to end in 12 years. Interesting thought. Bernie Sanders said the same thing. The world is going to end in 12 years. I don't have time to go there. She, Senator Ed Markey, they introduced this resolution for the Green New Deal in America to get us to the zero gas emissions by 2030. Same day, Maurice Newman, you see his picture up there. He's the chief business advisor to Australia's Prime Minister, Tony Abbott. This is what he said. "Climate change is just a hook to expand UN global control. It is about a new world order under the control of the UN." You say, how do you get that? All right, just listen to my theory. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and he's going to need an scapegoat for all of these tribulation judgments that are wreaking havoc on the world. Seal judgments 3 and 4, trumpet judgments 1 through 4, vial judgments 2 through 6 are all natural catastrophes. How do we explain all of this? He's going to say, climate change, possibly, I don't know, possibly climate change. And if you were to go to the sixth seal judgment, Revelation 6 verse 16, man begins to attribute the judgments to the wrath of the Lamb. So he says, No. It could be, it's just something to observe. One more. Is there anything behind this immigration stuff? Why are all of a sudden they just flooding our borders? Why did they just do this in Europe? Could it be that they're trying to break down our national sovereignty so that we're more open to a world government? Now, some of you are hyperventilating, and I am like way out of time. Turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 4, and this is how we're going to end. On a good, happy note, Micah chapter 4. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. Now listen to this. Glory to God. This is talking about the good kingdom, the good global government. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths, for the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You've had to put up with Neil Jackson way too long, but hold on, baby, because Jesus is coming, and you're going to get a whole lot better preacher than Neil Jackson. It is the Lord Himself. Look at verse 3. And He shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Remember the UN, they have that man beating his sword into a plowshare. They get it from that verse. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Matthew, let me give you three other verses. Matthew 19, verse 28. Jesus is going to rule. Jesus is going to reign. Who's going to rule and reign with Jesus? Matthew 19, verse 28. Jesus is talking to His disciples. Peter has just said, Jesus, we left all to follow You. Is there anything in there for us? Matthew 19, verse 28. Jesus said unto them, it's on the screen, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed Me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the disciples are going to be ruling with Him. Jesus, anybody else? Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that He should be heir of the world. I like that. Heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So Abraham, and it looks like his seed and those that obtain righteousness by faith are going to be with Him. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth My works unto the end. There's the last phrase. To him will I give power over the nations. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. And has made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Glory to God. That's you. That's me. You see the condition? You got to stay faithful. I'm not even going to go there. Luke 19 is a parable about stewardship. It's a parable. But those that are faithful, those that take what they have been given and use it to explain God's kingdom. It says, and you shall rule over 10 cities. You shall rule over 5 cities. We're way over time, so they're already mad at me. So let me give you one more passage. Put it on the screen. You say, what's God's kingdom going to be like? Is it going to be like anything down here? I got an email from somebody who wanted to know what the millennial period is going to be like. I'm going to answer that question. Just give me a few weeks. But here is a teaser what that millennial period is going to be like. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed together. Their young ones shall lie down together. The cows and the bears are getting along. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the nursing child is what it means. The sucking child shall play on the hole of a viper, an asp. It's a poisonous snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice. It's another snake, a cockatrice den. They shall no hurt nor destroy. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Notice this. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, the waters cover the sea a lot. And he says, hey, do you want to know what that day is going to be like? The fullness of the knowledge of the Lord shall reign supremely. He said, all right, what do we do? Here's what we do. Last night I was coming up here to meet a group to pray. There's some men that pray here in this auditorium and some ladies that pray over in the old auditorium. If you'd like to join us, you're welcome. We pray for about an hour that God would just work in our church. So I was coming up here, and a strange-looking character I met out here. And so my intentions were probably not pure. I probably was just going to run him off. Rolled down my window. I was like, hey, can I help you with anything? I need a ride home. Where are you headed? He told me where he was headed. Said, I got a prayer meeting. I'll rush it. 45 minutes when I walk out, you're sitting right there on that brick wall. I'll take you home. He said, it'd take me longer than 45 minutes to get home. I'll be sitting on that brick wall and I'll be waiting. I come out. My wife didn't think this was a great idea. I come out, rushed our prayer time to take this dude home. And he was gone. So what I did, I jumped in my truck. I've never chased down a hitchhiker. I'm riding all of the roads around here looking for the hitchhiker. And I didn't find him. Listen, here's the point. People around here need Jesus. We need to chase him. We need to chase after them hard. When they get tired of us chasing after them, say, no, you got to understand, Jesus is coming soon. Have you accepted him as Savior? You need to accept him while you have opportunity. So what do we do in the light of this truth? Do we just bask? Well, I'm safe. I can just sit in my lazy boy and watch basketball. No! Get out of your lazy boy chair and let's go tell people about our Savior who rescues them from sin and the coming tribulation.